We're here with running stormtrooper Jez Allinson right now to talk to him a little bit about what he's doing and why he's been running as a stormtrooper for so long.
Train yourself to let go of everything you fear to lose.
Always remember, your focus determines your reality.
Do or do not. There is no try.
Welcome back to the Running Stormtrooper podcast. This is the last Stormtrooper run. And with me, as always, is the Running Stormtrooper. It is Jez Allinson. Good evening, Jez.
Good evening, Stu. How's it going?
I'm not bad, mate. Not bad. Looking forward to catching up because I'm not sure when we last did one of these. Was it October?
Yeah, middle of October. Yeah.
How is the running, mate? Are we still cracking on with it?
Well, mate, the last episode was called Come On Baby, Hold Together. And it was, you know, covering some of the runs which I'd done in September and the London, the virtual London run, which was on October the 4th. And I was saying that, you know, I'd been developing some foot pain and I'd given myself a couple of weeks. And then I started running again. I was a bit worried because I had lost a couple of weeks. And actually, since that recording, things went from kind of bad to worse for a while. I started doing some more running, and then it got to the stage where I was, something is definitely not right here. So I think the last run which I did then was on November the 1st. It was just a very short treadmill run, as I just wanted to test something out. And my foot was hurting so much, I had to go to the doctors, and the doctors then sent me to the hospital, because they thought I may have a stress fracture. So I had I was ordered not to run. I was told to take 4 weeks off, and which is obviously disastrous from a point of view of setting myself an annual challenge to lose a whole month, and had to wait for the results of the x-ray. Now, the x-ray showed that there was not a fracture, but I was told that it was just a little bit of overuse. You know, I had had the 18 kilometer run which I did in September, and then I was really, really, really pushing for a PB, as you know, I got for the London Marathon, the virtual, but I think it came at a cost that I'd done too much, and I just had some soft tissue damage, and essentially I wasn't in the best place from a right foot point of view.
Rest easy, son. You've had a busy day. You're fortunate to be all in one piece.
So, were you short in October?
So October I had planned 100. So I planned 100 for October, did 80. So I went into November 20 short. So in order to complete my 1,000 miles, I had 100 miles planned for November. And I think it was around about 62 odd to finish in December. And 20 miles short in October, and the majority short for November. So not in the best of places at the moment. However, that was behind me, and now I'm looking towards the future.
Stay on target.
We're too close.
Stay on target.
Right, okay. So
I was told to take 4 weeks off, and I did. And like a day short of 4 weeks, I got to the stage where I was like, right, The physios had been giving me some sort of run rest programs, very short, and I've been slowly building that back up. Got to the stage where they were like, right, now you can do this, now you can do that, see if you can do this, see if you can do that. And I got to 5 days before the end of November, and I was able to go out for like a 4 mile run, 5 mile run without any issues. I was like, right, okay, I've got 4 running days left in November. If I can get 30 miles run, if I can get 30 miles done at the end of November, that will leave me with a massive target of 150 miles to run in December. So I broke it down. I did 7 miles on a treadmill. This was all on my treadmill just because I didn't want to injure myself any further. I just wanted to see what it was like. And I thought, if there's any issues, then I can just stop my treadmill and I'm at home. You know, I didn't want to run, get a mile or two away from home and then, you know, have a problem. So I ran 7 miles, followed by 8 miles, followed by 8 miles, followed by 7 miles, all on my treadmill. And it was all okay, slow and steady, not going for any time records or anything like that, but just going to get the job done. So I ended up finishing November. I had run 34 miles instead of my 100. But the fact was, I was back and I was up and running. So today, we're recording now on the evening of December the 1st, and I have 150 miles left to run of this 1,000-mile challenge. Now, I've said all along that, you know, I've lost over a month because I delayed slightly in October as well. So I've lost a month and a half. And if I have to spill into January, I will do. But I have a plan for December. I will try my hardest to see how I can get this smashed in December so it can get done and we can move on. And that's that.
I like the sound of that.
150 miles with, I've seen you do some big challenges, but how are you planning to get around that? I know it's 5 miles a day if you were doing it that way, but I know in the past shows you've said that that's not really doable because of the time it takes you to get your costume on and off.
Yeah, so I mean, the big thing for me is protection. You know, I've rested and rested as much as I can over this last month, and I'm now in a place where I think, you know, I've listened to doctors' advice, I've listened to the specialists, and I've listened to myself and my own body, and I'm thinking, right, I'm going to start doing this, and I'm going to be able to give myself a day off as well. Now, in the past, you know, when I was this time last year, I was running 180 miles a month as I was doing my 80-20 training plan. In the months leading up to the New York Marathon, I was doing about 180 a month or so. So my legs have been there before. But it's, for me, it's just really trying to reduce that hard impact of that sort of fast run. And I've got, you know, really, really good supportive trainers. I've just, again, recently changed my shoes. So they are still giving me the adequate support, the Brooks GTS, which I love and were absolutely perfect for me when I was running in Afghanistan. So I know that I'm set up well. And it's my intention to try and do 50 miles in a week. And I've broken that down by saying, right, I'm going to do 4 6.5-mile runs. And that will take me up to 26 miles. I'll then have a rest day. And then I'm going to do 2 12-mile runs.
He finished what he begins.
I won't fail you. I'm not afraid.
Yeah. You will be.
Six running days, which I'm completely used to. You know, when I was doing the 80-20 training plan, you would get one day off every 3 weeks, and which is a tried and tested plan. So for me, I'm not going to be running any distances. I'm not planning on at this stage running any distances further than 12 miles. And up until this stage, I'd been just doing it on my treadmill just to make sure that it was all okay. In fact, it takes me slightly longer on my treadmill. For some reason, the pace is different and I find it harder. Because, yeah, it's very easy to fall off a treadmill because you can't see where you're going with a helmet on. But today, I'm so, so pleased with this. This was so important. I didn't finish Nightflower last night till about 11 o'clock. But this morning, I got up early and dragged myself out of bed. And I put the costume on and I went for a run outside through my town for the first time since October, and it took all my motivation to get out there, but as soon as I was out there, I just didn't regret it at all. I didn't have any issues, my foot was fine, everything was feeling fine, but just that positivity which came from the running, just from being outside and thinking, you know, for every step I make, I'm getting that little bit closer. and I'm doing it. And the reaction, again, from all the people driving to work and people walking past and stuff. You know, people generally around here know what I'm doing. And I think they were happy enough to see the crazy lunatic running around again. So, yeah, I did 6.5 miles today. And for me, so that was another big sort of tick. A couple of weeks ago, I was absolutely devastated that I was told to rest and rest and rest, and that could be it. That could be me not being able to do this. But I've now got a 143.5 miles to run. And tomorrow I'll take 6.5 miles off that. And so I'm just doing it nice and steady, small distances. Now, if I have to, if I have to go into January, then absolutely fine. You know, I've got the self-discipline enough to listen to someone in November and say, right, you've got to take a whole month off. And so I thought that was it. I already thought that that was it for this year. But now I'm thinking, you know, it is possible. So if I did 50 in this first week, 50 in the second week, and then just see how it goes with the third week, see how I can do like the last run, still trying to figure out where I can run and how I can get to the end. But it may well be that if I can, and if everything still goes well, and at the moment all the signs are good at the moment, then I should be able to get this cracked for Christmas. Because the last thing I want to be doing is having to, you know, drag us Christmas Eve, Boxing Day, New Year's Day and stuff like that. I would love for everyone to for all my family just to be able to say, right, let's get this done.
I like the sound of that.
It's been a tough month, but we're now heading in the right direction.
I mean, 6-7 miles at a time, you will see it come down quite quickly, won't you? I mean
I'm going to be at the stage now where in 6 days time, you know, I'm optimistic that in 6 days time I would have achieved 900 miles.
Yeah.
And from then on, I'm just into double figures as opposed to, you know, triple figures. And again, all these psychological barriers in the way of tackling these distances. You know, in the past, when you're doing marathons or ultras or anything, it's all about that psychological battle, isn't it? Breaking things down and thinking, right, you know, I've done this. Now I've done that. Now I'm a fifth of the way. Now I'm a quarter of the way, you know, and breaking it down. So for me, getting to that 900 point is going to be brilliant. And I can see it happening, because I can think, right, if I just go to the end of my road, if I run down there and run there, well, that's just a mile. Then if I end up by that roundabout, then that's 2 miles, and I'm actually nearly halfway there from a, you know, from a 6.5. It's just bite-sized chunks. And today was a good day, and I'm you could probably tell in my voice, you know, I'm so relieved. But I'm just I'm excited. I mean, it's almost like some sort of ropey old movie, you know, but it's just like, you know, it's 2020. What can you expect? Something had to go wrong, ultimately. You know, everything had been going so well all year. And this has just added tension, added drama to the whole thing. Because it was like, yeah, he'll do 100 in November. And then all he's got to worry about in December is 60. No, he's got 150 to do in December. Really up against the stops, really up against it. But I've got the determination to do it, but also with the self-preservation of trying to protect myself.
Soon will I rest? Yes. Earned it, I have.
How's the costume holding up? Must be on its last legs as well, is it?
Yeah, the costume, it's just looking tired. And the funny old thing is that it's almost at the point where the costume is a reflection of me in so many ways. You know, it is tired. You know, I'm giving it a wipe over all the time, and then sort of once a week I'm taking out, or this month in particular, because I'm going to be running so much in it, I'll be taking out all the elastic, all of the straps, and then putting those through the washing machine, because there's only so much Febreze can do. at least now in the winter, I mean, my word, it was freezing this morning, and cold weather is coming. So it was, you know, at least I'm not going to be losing as much perspiration. But the costume is just tired. It's not looking good. Where I get sort of cracks and bits and pieces, it'd be like, right, I'll print something off, or I'll make a logo and I'll laminate it and I'll just stick that over, just so it, you know, try and quite literally covering up the cracks.
I might take some bets on what falls apart first, you or the costume.
Yeah.
Don't worry, show all together.
Give me, baby, hold together.
Obviously, one of the biggest issues this year was, 2020 is just keeps hitting you and hitting you, doesn't it? Putting you down, especially with this challenge. It's been one thing after another. But obviously, all the way through the year, you were hoping to be doing another long run like you've done in the past. Obviously, that didn't happen in the end. Down to COVID, you know, places are shut, aren't they? Can we go back and discuss those long runs? Because, I mean, if you'd knocked 100 miles or something off on a single run, I mean, the whole year would have been a lot easier.
So we've called this episode The Last Stormtrooper Run, because if you recall, when way back in 2018, I announced to everyone, right, this year I'm going to do The Last Stormtrooper Run, because that was it, 2018, the whole project was retired. And I did the 2016 marathon, the 2017 London Marathon, and the 40 miler at Pinewood. But I was like, right, yeah, it's all about trilogies. Star Wars is about trilogies. So let's finish this third year with the last Stormtrooper run. And it will be 100 kilometres. And because it was, that's right, it was the 100th anniversary of the Royal Air Force. So I thought, right, I'm gonna do this 100 kilometre run. So it could be like, right, which one do you do? There are various ultras out there. You know, there's loads and loads and loads. But a lot of these ultra runs are cross-country, fell running, or just, you know, going over stiles and gates and just difficult terrain. And obviously I can't do that in the costume because I struggle with curbs, let alone anything else.
I can't see a thing in this helmet.
So very much like when I organised my 40-miler at Pinewood Studios, again, I contacted Pinewood and said, right, 100 kilometres, I need to do 100K, and I'm going to do it in May. And that was right. I wanted to give myself around about 4 weeks off in between the London Marathon and the 100K. When I did the 40-miler, I only gave myself about 11 days, and I could have probably given myself a little bit longer. So we came up with a plan that, as you'll recall, next to Pinewood Studios is the wonderful national park called Black Park, which is beautiful forestry area, a lovely lake in the middle. They actually do lots of filming there as well. And there's a great park run. So the intention was I wanted to be able to run around the Lucasfilm area, and I wanted to be able to run around Pinewood. And I knew that the run would probably take me about 18 hours or so, with all of the stops and with changing my socks and eating and drinking and everything like that. So the intention was to start at midnight running around. We had exclusive access to the Lucasfilm area of Pinewood Studios, which is known as Pinewood East. So I was able to go over there and do a recce, and they had a little figure eight and circular route around a couple of the studios, which it was about 3/4 mile loop, and they just said, yeah, you can run around here. So it was safe, it was flat, it was illuminated, and it was exciting, you know, for a Star Wars nerd. You were just running around the studio thinking, wow, this is getting filmed here, what can I see, or what have they got hidden away? So very much from midnight, as I was running around with a few of my friends, we were sort of running around, but having a real good old beak, having a real good old look around the studios. So I had my Garmin tracker on, and people were able to use the live track function and follow me around. So we started at midnight, and we were told that we could run for as far distance as I wanted, around and around and around there, 3/4 mile little loop. And until all the workers came into work. So around about 6:30, you started seeing cars coming in, and obviously then the sun was coming up. So at the halfway point, it was about 7:00 in the morning, I had achieved 50K. And at that stage, we all packed up our little area, and the guys drove off to the car park of Black Park, and I ran down the road outside the gates and down towards Black Park, where we would continue the second half of the run, but this time in the forestry area of Black Park.
I like the sound of that.
Just a question, Jez. I mean, the year before you did the 40-miler, yeah?
Yeah.
So this was like 21 miles more. What kind of estimate time-wise did you think it was going to take you? I mean, you just said you did half of it in that morning, which is incredible going. You're obviously going to slow as the day goes on, the further you go. But did you expect to have done so much, or
I was hoping to? Yeah, I was. you've got to strike this balance of not wanting to burn out soon, but I knew I had a lot of food, a lot of fluids, a lot of energy, you know, replenishment with me. So for me, it was a great deal about the terrain. Now, I know that, you know, when I'm running on the sort of tracks of somewhere like Black Park, it does slow you down, and it's just more difficult. It takes a lot more concentration as well, because if I'm just running on a flat road pavement, and I know that it's flat and I'm not going to get tripped up, you know, my feet are just sort of not scuffing along, but I'm really not lifting my feet that high. And when you're running on sort of trails and stuff, I have to lift my feet higher, which is obviously even more fatiguing, because if I don't, I could very easily catch my foot and topple over. So I think when I did the 40 miler, it was around about 11. It was around about 11 hours, but I realized that in the last couple of hours, I'd really, really slowed down. I was probably averaging, instead of 6 mile an hour, I was probably averaging about 3.5, 4. So I was thinking, right, and if I've got another 20 miles to do, maybe another, say, 7 hours or so, maybe another 6 hours, I'll be a bit fitter then, I'll have a little bit more. So yeah, I rounded it up and I just said, right, I reckon it's going to be around about 18 hours. So I think the way in which we did it, I always thought that I would finish it around about 5:30, 6 p.m. But we had a bit of a problem because it was going so well initially. And as I said, I went from 7 o'clock, I went round to Black Park. But I don't know if you can recall, because obviously you joined me halfway around that morning, but the lads couldn't get into the car park. For some reason, the car park barrier was down. The car park wouldn't let anyone in until 8 o'clock. So I got to the rendezvous at about 7:05. And I knew that the cars were just on their way, but I didn't realise that the car park was closed. The car park was that big, I couldn't see the entrance point on the far side. So I started to strip off. I started to strip off because I wanted to, you know, change my top. I wanted to change my leggings. I wanted to change my socks and my trainers just to keep fresh. And I thought, yeah, the cars are just coming around. So it's about 7:15, I started stripping off and I was waiting. And then I started cooling down and really starting to get cold and thinking, where on earth is everyone? Yeah, eventually the guy sort of came over and said, yeah, we can't get into the car park. So I lost about an hour. I lost about an hour that morning just through faffing and just waiting around and stuff like that. So I'm glad that we added that sort of fudge factor for those issues which were unforeseen like that. From then on, just started running, and it was just a case of, as people were coming to see me, because it was obviously pre-COVID, people were just coming and going, and it was great to see, you know, my friendship community and people from work and various people just coming over, and family members just running around with me. So it was, I know, it's just a really lovely communal family fun atmosphere for people who could just cycle around with me or just run, and we would be doing loops of Black Park, and I'd just be stopping for energy and food, and just, I don't know, I was so lucky. The weather was just amazing that day. It wasn't too hot. That I was shielded, you know, in the forest canopy from the sun's rays, but it was just a nice day for everyone else. So yeah.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
Yeah, you were fortunate with the weather. Could you imagine if that was really wet? You'd still be there now.
It would have been absolutely rats for everyone. You know, it would have been, yeah. When I did the 40 miler, it was just, again, a beautiful day. Really, really lucky. The 100K, you know, things were going so well. I think I did develop a blister. Now, I've been really fortunate that all year this year, I've not had a single blister. I've not had a single blister on my feet, which, I don't know, maybe that just tells you that my trainers are so well suited to me, or socks or what have you. Or maybe I've just been really lucky and my feet have adapted.
I call it luck. In my experience, there's no such thing as luck.
But I do remember that on that day, I think I got a blister. There's a video on Facebook or something or other of me about, you know, 25 miles in, and I got a big old blister, which then got worse and worse. We competed it up, we treated it, And then I remember accidentally later on in the run, I mean, Steve Savory, bless him, who's really been a huge supporter of my Stormtrooper running and ran at least a marathon that day with me. You know, he was starting and stopping and going around, and he stayed with me so much that day. He bent down to try and assist me changing trainers because I was sort of doing a tactical pit stop while still in costume. So I couldn't take off my own trainers. I couldn't bend down or do anything else. And I think Steve accidentally squeezed in the wrong place on my trainer as he was trying to take my shoe off. And I let out a huge yelp, like squeal in agony and pain, which made Steve feel really, really bad. But made the Make-A-Wish and the Spread a Smile ladies who were there supporting, I think, feel really, really bad. That yeah, it was quite obvious at that stage that I was in a little bit of pain from a blister's point of view. But yeah, touch wood, this year I've been really quite fortunate.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
That has been the least of your problems, mate. A bit of blistering, eh?
Yeah.
So. We were just talking about the times. What time did you eventually finish? I mean, you're in Black Park. I've been there. It is a beautiful setting. I mean, it was a warm day. You're quite lucky. There's quite a lot of shade at Black Park from the trees, but obviously it's still...
Yeah. So,
do you have a problem the other way when it gets too hot? I mean, I've been with you before, and I think your tape's been melting in the sun.
Yeah, so I didn't have any melting issues that day. Yeah, I've had it sometimes when it's been so hot in the helmet that I've lost the lenses or I've had to stick those back in. It was all right. It was a nice May day. So I think from a running conditions point of view, it was just perfect. I was stopping. You know, Steve had so much experience for sort of ultras and he was like, right, what you want is you want this water, have this squash, have these zeros, have these electrolytes. And he said, right, get yourself a bottle of Coke, just open it and leave it on our little table, because we had a little pit stop area. So over at Black Park, we sort of took over a couple of benches, which were by their little cafe. So I was able to mix it up and go around and do little loops and stuff. But I had a cheer point, and it was so important then that I could just leave my spare trainers, my spare socks, all my fluids and all my food and everything like that. So Steve just said to me, listen, leave an opened can of full fat Coke, because in a few hours that'll be nice and flat, and in a few hours that's going to be like nectar to you. And you know, so I could get that instant sort of sugar hit without it being sort of too carbonated or fizzy on my stomach. So it was loads of things like that which I took, you know, from Steve. He was like, yeah, you want to get some pretzels, get some Twiglets, get this, get that. And and we had so much food.
Would you join me for a little refreshment? Everyone's invited, of course.
So that was great. The way in which it all worked, you know, there were toilets there, but as I said, there was a car park which eventually let people park there. But all my family were able to come in and out. Timings wise, yeah, it was really working well. Apart from the fact that I lost that 1 hour with issues after it had been going so well. Stopping to sort of update social media, stopping to see, you know, family and stuff. I know Jules and my two children arrived after school. And did start to sort of hobble around a bit at the end. And it was the last kilometre where the plan was always that Pinewood Studios would let me in through their sort of back gate. And then we do one kilometre loop of Pinewood and finish outside the Pinewood HQ. Now, what was funny there, were you running around that with us? Did you do that last 1K?
Oh, I was, yes.
Yeah, because, again, I can't remember a great deal because I think, you know, I'd been up for well over 24 hours by that stage. And B, because I can't see a great deal on my helmet. But I think there was the excitement of me, you, Star Wars nerd friends of ours, and my son as well. Because I remember we were all running around. We were sort of running around Pinewoods, following this little loop. And I could hear you all excitedly sort of chattering to each other. Oh, I've just seen that. Oh, I've just seen that. Oh, I've just seen this. And I'm thinking, where? I can't see a thing.
I can't see a thing at this helmet.
And yeah, so you were all having a real good sort of eyeful of what could be seen as we were running around. And it was just that, I don't know, I think the best way to describe it is family atmosphere of us all running around at the end. You know, the people who've been supporting me during the day, you know, my friends and my family, and we all crossed the finish line together. And it was just that whole, well, that was it. Wow. You know, 100 kilometers run in the Stormtrooper armor in the space of 18 hours. It was pretty much 10 to 6, I think, when we crossed that line. And then Pinewood were amazing because they had sort of said, yeah, we'll square you away with a takeaway and some beers for your mates and for you. And they gave us a dressing room. And so I had a massage from the resident Pinewood Studios massage chap, Jason. And yeah, and they actually were very kind enough to give me a couple of sort of gizzits and a couple of little prezzies from Pinewood. But yeah, it was really nice end to the day where we were all able to sort of sit down in the dressing room and have a beer, sort of have a toast. And that was it. The last Stormtrooper run, never to be done again.
Well, that's what we thought, wasn't it, in 2018? You had called the whole thing the last Stormtrooper run. It's what you've been building from. If I remember rightly, even the medals that year had the last... Was it the last Stormtrooper run written on the medal?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So you had... Yeah. So, why have we seen you running around in 2020? You just can't give it up.
No, when you say I can't give it up, no, mate, it's definitely being given up. So, no, that was it. It was the last one. I wanted it to be a trilogy. I wanted it to finish it. And that was it. And so that was May the 17th, 2018. And then I went off and carried on, you know, working in the military and going off and going to the Middle East and doing various different things. I remember being in Afghanistan when I got a email from the head of Disney licensing saying,
"Hello there.
Hi, we've heard about what you've been up to. You know, you're running Stormtrooper stuff. And we were wondering if you wanted to collaborate with us in 2020. I was like, yeah, no, thank you as much, but it's done. You know, the last one was called The Last Stormtrooper Run. I don't think there's anything else for me to do. I don't think there's anything. It carried on. They were like, yeah, because we've got this new initiative called Fuel Your Force, and it's going to be about health, well-being, and about, you know, doing sort of fitness bits and pieces, and we were wondering if you wanted to work with us and be sort of, you know, an ambassador for us.
The light, it's always been there. Listen to the heart that beats inside you, to the flow of your breath. Feel the energy that connects you to everything, to all of us. Focus on the journey ahead, driven by destiny. To your own horizon, your pathway. Fueled by the Force. What fuels your Force?
And again, I was like, yeah, no, I really don't think I can do anything. I don't think there's anything I can bring to the party. I'm not a trainer. I'm, you know, I don't do anything like that. I think that time is done. Anyway, they carried on. We ended up having a Blue Jeans sort of Skype/team meeting when I got back. And they were sort of floating a few ideas. And I was like, well, I really don't think so. And they were like, yeah, maybe you should do a through-year challenge. And it sort of got me thinking about, oh, well, maybe I could do this or maybe I could do that if it was worth it from a charity point of view. Now, the whole Fuel Your Force thing, I think sometimes different companies have stuff which works and sometimes they don't, and I don't believe that initiative of theirs has actually gained much momentum, and I think they've probably moved on to a different strategy, or maybe even COVID coronavirus, you know, put the stops on that. But you know, obviously sometimes they look for ideas, and then if something starts to take off, they'll run with it. But actually, the whole Fuel Your Force thing, I don't think anything more happened with that. But it was the trigger, it was the catalyst for me sort of having a tiny, well, if anything happens, I could maybe do this. But it was then Spread a Smile, one of the charities, invited me and my wife to a charity gala, a fundraising event one night. And I went to this thing and I saw again what they were doing. And I listened to some of the vignettes by parents and by surgeons, by actual doctors who work in these hospitals, saying, you know, what these charities do makes a difference. We wish that this stuff could be done on the NHS, but it can't be done. But it's so vital that it is done. And what they do is incredible for the recovery, for the children, for the mental health of the children, but also the family as well. I was just thinking, you know, they've got me. And I want to help them. And I think towards the end of 2019, that's when I started thinking, well, I've just run 1,300 miles this year as a normal runner, as I was doing a lot of running and preparing for, you know, New York Marathon and other runs just as me, as a normal person. And I just thought, yeah, well, Disney gave me that idea of a through-year challenge. And I do think that's the next way in which to tackle this, because I'm finding it more and more difficult to fundraise. I mean, COVID aside, you know, it's when someone is known to be a runner, for them to say to someone, oh, can you sponsor me? It's not as enticing. It's not as necessary. You know, you can't see it necessarily happening. But if someone's going to turn around and say, right, I'm going to put this costume on over 100 times in a year and run 1,000 miles, that's probably worth some fundraising.
I like the sound of that.
And through Disney sort of triggering just my thoughts of, maybe I could do something. And then from getting together with the charities and seeing what they do. Yeah, that's why this year came about. So 2018 was the last Stormtrooper run. 2020, it's completely done now. This was the last Stormtrooper event ever. This is it this year, mate. This is 100% it.
I've heard this before, like, please.
Everyone says that, but I don't think anyone actually appreciates how hard this is for me. This, you know, I can't do anymore. I am selling my soul on social media to try and get sponsorship. I'm trying to, you know, fundraising donations for the charity work. This, I mean, crumbs.
Yeah.
What else can you do? I mean, as in, you know, 1,000 miles in a year. So, you know, I've gone from marathon to this, to that, to this, to 1,000 miles in a year. No, I yearn just to have my freedom back again. I yearn to be me, just to think, right, oh, it's quite nice out there at the moment, I'll just put my trainers on and go for a run or what have you. Whereas no, this the effort involved in this, you know, costuming and keeping it going, keeping me going and everything else, mate, I am yeah. Done. I won't raise anything next year, because people will just be like, mate, you've done it, well done, you've done it. No more.
Yeah, that's so. The problem, isn't it? You're always asking the same people, really.
Yeah.
Your circuits. But although, all right, so the running you draw a line under, but I'm not sure I am Stormtrooper's ever been up Mount Kilimanjaro.
And, think about. Yeah, well, maybe that mountain shouldn't ever have a Stormtrooper on it. No, I'm done. The costumes, I'll be done in 143 and a half miles. I've loved it. It's been brilliant, and it's lovely that, you know, people see, say, a Stormtrooper on Facebook, or see a Stormtrooper sort of, you know, for sale or what have you. And the amount of people who sort of tag me in posts and stuff, like, oh, Jez, here you go, you nerd. Yeah, that's all lovely. And it is, you know, my complete alter ego and everything. But I just, you know, I'm almost looking forward to slipping completely back into that anonymous, you know, the anonymous side of things, where I can just go to a run and just not worry about,
yeah,
being that person or the social media side of it, or just rocking up and just enjoying the freedom and being able to see and being able to tie up my own shoelaces and stuff. We've passed some incredible milestones, you know, over £50,000 now raised.
It's incredible, really, mate.
So I'm so delighted with that, mate. So now, if it's time for me to pass, not literally speaking, pass the armor on to someone else, but just, you know, to pass it on to someone else, and that's hopefully why, you know, these podcasts also have just made people think, oh, actually, I could do something in my town, or I could do this. You know, we spoke about the Guinness World Record bits at the beginning of the year about ideas and stuff. So, no, mate, passing that's sorry,
passing the torch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Someone else do it, and
yeah, let you do it.
Okay. Oh, we have a laugh, don't we?
No one's ever really gone.
You just mentioned the fundraising. Over 50,000 is a hell of an effort. I mean, that's always going to make a difference to any charity, you know, even the biggest charities. But obviously, there's still a bit of time. One big push would be great. How are the virtual races going? Because I know at one point we said some of them are sold out, but I think they're back available again, aren't they?
Yeah, so the virtual races are incredible. And so this is a series of virtual events, 1 mile, 5K, 100 miles and 1,000 miles with an amazing stay on target stormtrooper with a flashing LED at the end of the blaster on some beautiful ribbons, which are sort of color-coded. The 1 mile has got a red sort of lightsaber Star Wars themed ribbon. The 5K is green, and the 100 miler is actually got a yellow sandy ribbon, which is, I think, a lot of people love that one the most because it's a very unusual color for a running ribbon and looks great on a metal rack. And the 1,000 miles has got a really cool blue ribbon, all with different Star Wars themes within them. Now, these are made great Christmas presents, but I don't do this. I just gave the idea to my good friend Mark, who came up with the design. We gave the design to the metal company called My Race. So this is an amazing company who do these virtual events. And it costs just £14, including sort of taxes, postage and packaging. You get an incredible medal posted to you once you've completed, and the charity gets a fiver. I mean, that's a massive proportion. And ever since I started, collaborating with them, you know, I did the last Stormtrooper run where I did four medals with them in 2018, and these four medals combined between the 2018 and 2020 medals, over £5,000 has been raised for charity just by people signing up to these events. In 2018 there were 600 in total signed up, and in 2020 over 430, I think, at the moment. And they've still got, in total amongst the four events, I think there's about 140-150 left. So yeah, amazing. I think there's only a couple now of the 1,000 miles, but all the others are available. I was hoping to get a lot of school kids signed up for the 1 miler, because in 2018 I ran with a lot of schools. I ran with a lot of young kids and did the sort of 1 mile around the sports field. That was the intention this year, but unfortunately we haven't been able to do that because of COVID. But these aren't, you know, time limited, so, you know, people can do that in 2021. I thought the 5K was perfect for people who might be, say, doing park run or a couch to 5K. But no, they've been really successful. They do look absolutely outstanding. The My Race company have done an incredible job. And now I'm really, really pleased with the way they've gone. But they are still available. So that's myrace.run. If you go to that website, you'll see them.
Yeah, they really are a thing of beauty. I think the whole design and concept of it is amazing. And like I say, it's done you the world of good with helping with you just said £5,000. Pound. That's 10% of
10%,
what you've raised, which is a huge help, isn't it, when you're raising that sort of money?
I mean, I've been incredibly lucky. But if you know, for people who say sign up to do and I have been incredibly lucky, and I know that, and I've pushed it hard within the sort of Star Wars collecting community and within, you know, our circle of friends and family and Facebook friends and everything like that. But for someone who, say, signed up to do, you know, Great North Run or London Marathon, you know, any of these 2021, 2022, and they think, oh, you know, I've got to raise £2,000 for charity or £2,500 for charity. You know, as we said in the past, these things can get done with, you know, quiz nights, fun nights and raffles. But if you imagine someone, you know, even on a smaller scale, coming up with a theme, coming up with an idea and working with a company like My Race Run, and, you know, at the very least you might be able to turn around, you know, if they sold 200 medals, 200 events, you know, that's £1,000 there for an idea. You know, you don't have to do any of the work yourself. You don't have to do any of the posting or website design or anything like that. You design the medal and you convince them to do it. And we were able to do that. And it's raised £5,000. So, yeah, I'm really pleased with those medals.
Brilliant, mate. Brilliant.
Stay on target.
We're too close.
Stay on target.
Is there anything else you wanted me to bring up?
Oh, well, actually, funny you should say that. I have got an amazing incentive for people to sponsor me, actually. So, as you know, I'm still short of my target.
Stay on target.
We're too close.
Stay on target.
You know, initially I was looking at a really, really high target, which I've slowly brought down. And I brought it down to £14,000. I was like, right, if I can raise £14,000 this year, bearing in mind I'm running 1,000 miles, you know, in a coronavirus year, I think that'd be brilliant. Now, at the moment, I've raised £12,194. So I'm 87% of my fundraising target for the year. I've got some more money to come in for some of the medals, but I've already got the majority of the money for the medals. So £12,194, so just over £1,800. And I contacted Brooks. As you know, Brooks have really, really looked after me well since 2018. And I said to them, you know, is there anything which you'd be able to do to maybe encourage some people to sponsor me? And Brooks have said, yep, okay, what we'll do is we will donate a pair of trainers to your cause. So what that means essentially is anyone who sponsors me, and we've decided is a minimum of £10. Anyone who sponsors me £10 between now and December the 31st will be in with a chance to win a brand new pair of Brooks running trainers, which are specifically for them and for their running gait, for their running style. So I'm not going to turn around and say, oh, it's going to be a pair of Brooks Levitates or Brooks GTS, or because it might be that that person needs a different type of running shoe. So let's say, for example, I get 50 people on Instagram, Facebook, sponsor me £10, right? Which is brilliant for me because that's £500 come in, which is really going to help out my fundraising. So those people have got, you know, 1 in 50 chance of winning a pair of trainers. And let's face it, a lot of trainers nowadays, £120, £130, £140. And they can say, oh yeah, these are the trainers which suit me. These are the trainers which I'm after. Or Running Shop could say that. And I'm going to randomly draw one person who has sponsored me and who wants the trainers. So it's going to be a case of, right, either send me a message on Instagram or send me a message on Facebook once you sponsored me, and I'll just put you into a draw. And let's say, you know, there's 20 people who do it, and I will randomly select, and I'll use a random number generator to select winning lucky person to win a decent, amazing pair of Brooks trainers. So, you know, hopefully come the end of it, you know, people will be sort of inspired enough to maybe sponsor me or, you know, sponsor just so we can raise some more money for Make-A-Wish and for Spread a Smile, the two charities. But someone who sponsors me is going to win themselves a really, really smart pair of Brooks trainers.
That's a brilliant prize, mate. That's another great incentive. I mean, like you say, it's been a difficult year. You know, the fundraising I would have chipped in with and helped you, but it's just been everything just cancelling. So for them to throw something in like that, brilliant. I think we discussed Brooks, didn't we, in one of the earlier episodes. So,
you know, so they supported me all throughout 2018. And, you know, in 2019, when I was running and I was just running as me, that was it. I thought, oh, well, you know, Brooks wanted to, you know, support me whilst I was the Stormtrooper. So whilst I wasn't the Stormtrooper, I just carried on and I was just buying my own trainers, you know, and I was buying my own stuff. And it was only at the end of 2019, they were like, oh, you know, you should, you were still with us, you know, stay along. So they've just said, you know, we'll support you all throughout 2020. And in fact, they have done, and they've been brilliant. So whilst this massively appreciated, this latest kind gesture of theirs hasn't surprised me at all. They're, you know, they're just a really lovely company.
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant.
This is our most desperate hour. Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
In order to be in with a chance of winning yourself then a pair of these trainers, everything is on. I've got this really good link tree now in the bio on my Instagram. So my Instagram, Stormtrooper_run, and Stormtrooper Run on Facebook, and Stormtrooper Run on Twitter. But they give you links to the Virgin Money Given fundraising page. But just in case anyone wanted it right now, and hopefully we'll put this in the notes to the show, uk.virginmoneygiving.com/the Running Stormtrooper Project. And that will take you to the Virgin Money Given page, which is raising money for me for Make-A-Wish and Spread a Smile.
Brilliant, mate. Brilliant. Yeah, please, please do go and sponsor Jez.
Stay on target.
We're too close.
Stay on target.
Well, Jez, well done, mate. It's great that you're back running and that your injury wasn't anything overly serious. You know, it could have been a lot worse, but I know we said you'd go in January, but I've got a hunch that you'll smash that out. You're too much of a machine, mate. You've got that kind of personality, very determined, so I'm sure you'll blow it away. But
we'll just see what happens. You know, tomorrow's day two, so
as long as the injury doesn't rear back.
Yeah. And I'm going to be steady. I'm going to take it easy. This is, you know, this episode was the last Stormtrooper run, and this is the penultimate podcast episode for us. There will be one more episode, and that will be when this job is done.
I like the sound of that.
Can people, is your tracker going to be kept up to date over the next few days?
Yeah, so because I'm going to be running, you know, pretty much every day, there may well be a few days where it's just, I'm not particularly good with tech, right? So my tracker is a, you'll have people now just going, oh, you complete loon. So my tracker is a Word document, which is then cropped and then put into a PowerPoint presentation, which is then screenshot and then cropped and then uploaded as an image to my website page. So it's a very convoluted way of doing it because I don't really know how to do it, and that's how I've done it all year. So every time I want to update my mileage tracker, it actually takes me about 5-10 minutes or so, and that 5-10 minutes to me is massively precious time. So I'm updating today. I will hopefully update tomorrow, but it might just be that, say, on a Friday night, I'm just like, oh, I haven't got time to update now. I'll update it tomorrow. So, yeah, it's going to be within 48 hours, let's say. And the mileage tracker can be found on stormtrooperrun.com. But as I said, I've got this Linktree thing now on my Instagram, which has got links to pretty much everything. And so clever, this stuff now. So yeah, everything, all videos and everything which you need are on this link tree, as well as the all important fundraising.
Brilliant. Well, Jez, I can't look forward to hearing how you get on in the final show, mate. But I'll be following that tracker, so you best be updating it, shall I?
Yeah,
5 minutes or not. Okay.
All right, mate, I will be. Yeah.
Yeah, well, Jez, best of luck for the next couple of weeks. Smash it. We're all behind you, mate. And as always, mate, brilliant. Well done.
Thanks so much, Stu. Thanks to everyone for sticking with us. Please, if you get the chance, please see it in your heart, maybe. I know it's been a tough old year for everyone, but, you know, there's been no Christmas parties this year, I don't think. So if you saved yourself a couple of quid on Christmas parties and not going to them, please see if you are able to throw a couple of quid my way. And just as importantly as well, see if you can encourage others to, be it on whatever social media format which you have. So thanks ever so much. I keep my fingers crossed. I keep my toes crossed. and hopefully I can reach that 1,000 by our next episode.
Yeah, we're with you, mate.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers, mate.